Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always,
always
use your head.
You are now listening to ChairShot Radio. Always use your head.
Thursday, you know what that means. It's time for Head Trauma Thursdays.
Ah! I promise I'll get a better intro, I promise.
That's the best intro. It's quality. A bit of midweek mainstay for the Chair Shot Radio listeners.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that somebody appreciates my Oprah impression. Nonetheless,
is that what it was? It was Oprah. Yeah.
Well, you know, you get an airplane. You get an airplane. Everybody gets it.
You know. Everybody gets a new president. You get a new president. You get a new president.
Look at you being topical. I see you. But we didn't even introduce ourselves yet. You know, it's your boy Rance, aka Ray Cash, with the Podfather himself, the big fish Magsy over there.
The little tiddler.
Now, the little tiddler. No, you're the big fish and I'm the little tiddler.
Stop that noise.
So we got wrestling content to talk about, but as we're recording this, inauguration day is here in America. And you ever held your breath so long and when you finally started breathing again, you remembered, oh, my lungs, this is how lungs are supposed to work? It's kind of what I feel like.
Been holding
like
your
right
breath
now.
For 4 long years.
Four long years, bro. And
breathing that freedom.
Right? I'm not a hater. So, and I may be one of those I told you so people. I try not to be too vindictive. So, like, I do have a very small part of my heart for those people who aren't racist, who aren't insurrectionists, who aren't conspiracy theorists, who aren't batshit insane crazy, who just don't like or don't trust Biden Democrats. I have a small modicum of understanding in my heart. When I say small, I mean like, you ever heard of the old nursery rhyme, The Princess and the Pea?
Yeah.
It's about the size of a pea. Nonetheless, look, don't get me wrong. You know, there was a time where Democrats and Republicans could get along, you know? So, you know, if we go back to that time, then I can talk to you, but we've moved so far past that I'm trying hard not to say na-na-na-na-na, but I guess I just did on the air, so.
Yeah, I think, and this is going to be kind of a, not saying his words verbatim, but the way Biden said in his opening speech about this being a united America, it's time to heal. I think that was probably the best way to put it. I mean, Trump got in because there was a lot of apathy towards politicians. A lot of people wanted change, and he hit those right notes with a lot of people. It only turns out that those notes were with the racists and the bigots and all those kind of people, the really kind of the low-hanging fruit. So hopefully lessons can be learned and you'll get someone who actually can do the presidential job.
Trump also got in because America couldn't have a black man for 8 years and then elect a woman next.
Yeah,
Too much progress. And we are not united. We are still very much fractured. However, President Obama ran on two things. He ran on the yes, we can, and he ran on hope. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the world feels hopeful today. And unfortunate to those who are on the other side who don't feel hopeful, understand that we just have 4 years of feeling that way y'all feel, and the entire world is on our side. And I'm not trying to make it a side-to-side thing, but it is what it is. Enough of that yucky politics talk. Tell the ladies and gentlemen, and those who don't identify as ladies or gentlemen, dogs, chickens, ducks, cats, and everybody else in between.
How many chickens do you think make up our demographic? That's an interesting thing.
We're definitely in the hundreds.
We're big in
the chicken market.
Yeah, huge. We're hitting those 18 to 49 demographic of chickens.
You know what we're biggest? We're biggest in the fish demographic.
Yes, we are the biggest. We nail all those demographics.
That's right, baby. 18 to 49, 18 to 34, all of them. 12 to 25, we got them all.
Wow.
Tell them what we're talking about today, bro.
Today, I thought, with us being kind of a almost part-time New Japan fans, because we obviously haven't been around New Japan since the golden era of wrestling, and I assume you were brought into New Japan around the time that the topic that we're going to discuss started like popping. It's a reason why a lot of wrestling fans got into New Japan. It's a reason why a lot of wrestling fans are still in New Japan now. I thought we'd have a little chat about Bullet Club. Bullet Club.
You did it. I was about to do the same thing. Well done.
So what I thought we could do is I thought we could rank the current, well, I was actually going to say let's rank all of the members of Bullet Club just to our own personal taste, just for a bit of fun, no kind of competition here. But when I saw exactly how many people have been in Bullet Club, I thought that is a big task. So I rounded it down to current active members of Bullet Club. So we're going to do a ranking system.
We're going to be ranking Jeff Jarrett, and we're going to be ranking Haku, and we're going to be ranking, wasn't Brian Kendrick a member of Bullet Club for like a day or something like that?
I've got the list up of people who were in Bullet Club. So obviously you've got the obvious ones of AJ Styles was in there, Kenny, The Bucks, Marty Scurll, Robbie Eagles was in there, Prince Devitt. Then there's been a few from when Bullet Club went on a little bit of an excursion to Mexico. Ray Bucanero was in there. La Comandante was in there. El Terrible's in there. The Good Brothers. Cody Hall.
Hall, that's right.
Then we get to the part-time members. Scott D'Amore was a member for a good 4 months.
Oh, dear God.
Stephen Amell was a member for damn near a year.
Yeah, because of Cody, yeah. Sure.
Haku, obviously. Mephisto. Gino Gambino. Brandy Rhodes was a member for 2 years. Amber Gallows was a member for a year.
Until she divorced his ass.
Well, yeah. Someone called Mao. I have no idea who Mao is.
Spell it?
M-A-O, Mao. As in, like, Chairman Mao. They were only a member. Oh, they were a member for nearly 2 years, so they must be slightly important. Ah, one second. It was one of Tokyo Pimp's ladies of the night.
Oh, so the other one besides Pieter. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, there's been a hell of a lot of members of Bullet Club, but officially now there's 13.
Why is there 13 members, sir? Why is it just 13?
Because the go-to source, Wikipedia, you know, that very trustable source, has already kicked JY out of the Bullet Club with no confirmation. They've kicked that motherfucker clean out.
I wonder where he could be going.
NXT.
So, yeah. And then once we rank these people, I got some Bullet Club stuff I want to talk to you about at the back end of this.
Okay, okay. Let's do it.
But this was your idea, Mr. Badlands, clearly. How you want to do this, from the bottom up or from the top down?
Yeah, I think we start with the dregs and build our way up to the creme de la creme.
Okay. Well, if you may, if you don't mind, I'll go first, then you go, and then you flip, and we'll do that to the top. That's cool?
Yeah. Sounds good. Like a snake draft.
And the dregs, as you call them, it's not going to last long. At the bottom of the list, of the current list, I got Dick Togo. He'd been in for a cup of coffee. Yeah. Cup of coffee. He maybe had like one kendo stick shot. He ain't really did nothing. I don't know, man. He's forever gonna be the Senton guy from Kai and Tai.
Yeah.
He'll never be Bullet Club to me.
Yeah. Exactly the same. I've got Dick Togo in 14th. Only brought in as really as the heater for Evil. I think the garrotting wire is an interesting kind of a facet to him, but yeah, he's done nothing much to really kind of set himself apart in Bullet Club. Doesn't do anything that the likes of Gedo and Jado don't do already. So yeah, I've got him as 14th out of 14. Thanks for trying. He gets a participation award.
Hey, he's on the list.
So then I'll go to my number 13 then. I've gone for Hikuleo.
I did the same thing.
Wow. Let's see how long we can keep this trend going.
I feel like it's going to be a lot of similarities.
Yeah. So I've got him basically because he made his debut tagging with his brothers and Bad Luck Farley. I think he's actually subbed in for an injured Kenny Omega. And he's only actually made sporadic New Japan appearances. He has had a spot in the New Japan Cup in 2019, but I think he lost in the first round to, I want to say, Marky Nichols. But yeah, he's been mainly on excursion in America and in Rev Pro. He has started being on New Japan Strong, so perhaps his time like in Bullet Club is gonna start making more appearances. But yeah, I've got Hikuleo at 13.
The kid is talented. I mean, he's one of Haku's sons. So there's no way he can be talented, but he just hasn't done enough. He hasn't been there enough. And everybody else we're about to mention is a regular, everyday Bullet Club t-shirt. Just a t-shirt wearer, but like they down for the cause. Which brings me to number 12, which is the man with the kendo stick himself, Mr. Jado. I have Jado under Gato only because Gato is, you know, Gato's the man. Gato is the heater for Switchblade, whereas Jado is the heater for Kenta for the G.O.D. Yeah. And Jado wrestles every now and then like Gato does, but that's not their job. Yeah. But there's a clear hierarchy in the heaters, right? Mm-hmm. There's Gato, then Jado, then Pieter. But when, she's not on this list, but then her. And then, like, you skip, like, a million different people, then it's Dick Togo.
Wow. And he comes all in those flashy white suits as well, and you're doing him dirty like that. 12, I've got Jado as well, pretty much for the same reason. He's Gato's kind of sidekick, followed him over when he defected with Jay White. The heater for G.O.D. and for Kenta. Basically, what I do think he differentiates himself from Dick Togo is that with the Girls of Destiny, they've been using him as almost like a manager rather than as interference. He's been kind of like dictating plays recently. So he gets a little step up on Dick Togo for that for me. But yeah, I've got him in 12th. In 11th, I've gone with Chase Owens.
Okay, we differ there, but I know why you have him at 11. Because you hate him.
Do you know, when I first actually started like really taking notice of Bullet Club, he was one of the people who I really enjoyed, because he took it seriously, really wanted to like be part of this group. But he's been a member for 6 years now. The most interesting thing he's done whilst being in Bullet Club has been when he sided with the Elite during the Civil War, but then rejoined after the Elite all left and did old Bullet Club dirty. It's usually it's the pins. The reason why he's the lowest active New Japan wrestler for me is because he's never won a title in New Japan. So that's why I've got him in 11th place. So Chase Owens is 11th.
I have Gato 11 only because I can't in good conscience put any of the managers or the heaters above any of the active wrestlers. And it's not like Chase is like Kiko Leo where he only wrestles sparingly. Chase wrestles regularly. I just couldn't in good conscience.
I see that thinking.
Yeah. But we don't have to explain Gato. Gato could... I think Gato could be warranted to be higher on the list because of what he's accomplished. But he doesn't wrestle. And so he barely wrestles every now and then. And yeah, he's probably won a never six-man title or something, but I couldn't in good conscience do that. So for number 10, Gato was my number 11. But for number 10, all due respect to the man got skin in the game. But Tokyo Pimp Yujiro Takahashi is number 10. He is the lowest of the low. And look, Takahashi can be good at times. Takahashi was so good at one point, he was Naito's tag partner. He's not garbage. It's just remember when the Godfather, like, at the end of his run, when he, like, really stopped caring about wrestling and would come out, and would just say, look, I don't really want to wrestle, so you can take the hose and we can just leave.
Yeah.
That's Yujiro. One more funny thing about Yujiro. After the pandemic, when they started back, and all of the non-Japanese wrestlers were still stranded in their countries, when they ran Yujiro angle with Yujiro versus Okada, that lets you know how small their talent pool was. Mm-hmm. For Yujiro to be put against Okada, nah, bro. So, no, this Yujiro. Yujiro got the best job in the world. Show up, get pinned, and get hosed.
Yeah.
I mean, best job in the world.
I've got Tokyo Pimp at number 10 as well. First non-Gaijin member of the stable.
Important. Mm-hmm. That's important, by the way, because remember, this stable was originally built as a Gaijin stable.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He then deserted Chaos to join. I think he helped AJ Styles actually beat Okada for the title at Wrestle Kingdom. He's held the Never Six-Man titles for 3 days with Farley and Tama Tonga. But he actually did hold the open weight title for about 5 months. He's another one like Chase Owens. If he's usually either low down on the card or he's going to eat the pin in a match. What boosts him above Chase Owens for me is that run what he's had with Okada recently. Yeah, he was very much out of place, but they went with him over some other wrestler that they could have gone with. There's a little bit of storyline there about how Okada didn't respect him and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's why I put him a little bit over Chase Owens. So going to number 9, and I've gone with Gedo, so I'm redressing the balance. As we know, defected to Bullet Club when he turned on Okada to side with Switchblade Jay White. He's, again, kind of like Dick Togo and Jado. He's a manager slash heater and even slash spokesman for Jay White. Wrestles occasionally, but if it wasn't for him being in Jay White's corner, I think that he's been quite pivotal in a lot of Jay White's success. And obviously, the dude is the best booker in wrestling today. So that's why I put him over Takashi and Chase Owens. Come on, you know he is. That's your Naito standing coming out there.
Top three. Yeah.
Who's in the argument then?
I'm NXT Stan. I think Hunter books impeccably.
Okay. I mean, I understand, yeah.
And I have to admit, I don't dislike the company. I don't dislike the talent. I don't dislike the shows. I dislike a lot about the bullshit. But Tony Khan does a decently good job booking AEW. Okay. Silence.
That silence. No, I like a lot of what happens on AEW. I don't like... When they get it wrong, they get it so wrong. When Cody's involved in absolutely every storyline, when we've had Sting return, Sting speaks, Sting looks at the stand, Sting buys a coffee as the head tiles of shows every single week. It's a bit on the nose for me.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm with you, by the way. I completely agree. You said balancing the scales. My number 9 is the crown jewel, Chase Owens.
Okay.
So I have him at number 9 for this reason. I think in terms of talent, a lot of this is potential because the kid is very talented. And I think he's their lower tier star. Like, if they have a lower tier, if they're having a lower tier angle, he's the guy that is normally featured. King of Pro Wrestling, he was number 1. He lasted the entire time. He was, the whole match the next night was built around him. So, of that. And, of course, because I give all deference to the Tongans, and he is officially an honorary Tongan.
He's Bullet Club RG.
So, but I got no qualms with the way you played it. I understand the way you played it. This is where it gets interesting. Okay. My number 8. No disrespect to the Tongans whatsoever. My number 8 is Tangaloa. Now, from 1 to 8. All of them got title runs. All of them have been featured in their own way. All of them have important moments. So you're really just picking and choosing at this point. But the reason I put Tangaloa number 8 is because he is the worst wrestler of the 8.
Oof.
He is a fantastic tag wrestler, but you watch him in the ring, and like, he's been doing this for a while now, and you still like, I don't know, man. And I'm not saying he's terrible, but it's the difference between great, 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 really, really good, really, really good, and then like, average.
Yeah.
You know, he's a Billy Kay in the world of Charlotte Flair's and Sasha Banks's.
Oof, wow. Oof, that's harsh.
I'm trying to find something you could agree with me with so I don't feel so bad.
Okay, so...
let me just shut up and hand it off. Over, yeah.
So, in eighth, I've got Tangaloa. And for a lot of the same reasons that you've got him. I actually rate Tangaloa's in-ring. The thing is, for me, that he's in the shadow of Tama Tonga. Tama Tonga is a better wrestler, he's more charismatic, he's more outspoken. And we're talking here about someone who is a record-breaking tag team champion. They've won the IWGP titles 7 times. So this is no disparage on Tangaloa. He's a quality addition to Bullet Club. But I just think he hasn't had that breakout where he's not just seen as Tama's brother, rather than he's seen as Tangaloa on his own. So that's why I've got him at my number 8. Now, getting to this last 7, I think maybe we might start differing. We'll just see, like, because it now kind of starts getting to preferences rather than actual kind of a breaking down of ring quality and things like that. But I've gone for Evil at 7. Yep. So.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
You sound okay. Shocked.
Okay, I'm set up. My bad. I'm set up.
Okay. So the reason why I've gone for him is the first ever member of LRJ to leave the stable when he turned on Naito after winning the 2020 New Japan Cup. Obviously, then joined up with Bullet Club when they attacked Okada. Won the double titles, which makes him the first ever triple champion in New Japan, because he was actually still a member of the six mans with Bushi and Shingo. I think he ended up dropping vacating that title a couple of weeks later. Lost those titles back to Naito in typical New Japan first-time world champion style booking. The reason why I've gone for him in 7th is not on shade of him as a character, but it's on shade of him as part of Bullet Club. For me, he just seems like an outlier, like his character isn't a Bullet Club character. It just maybe give him a year or even 6 months in the group, he could kind of like ingratiate himself for me. But right now, it just feels like he's in there because it's a group rather than he fits in with the ideology of Bullet Club. So yeah, that's why I've gone for Evil at 7.
Woo. All right. Wow. I just needed some time to collect myself. All right. My number 7 is the Rogue General himself, Battle of Kvale.
Oh, yeah. Lowdown.
Let me tell you why. In terms of respect, he's number 1. In terms of importance, number 1, 1A, 1B. In terms of ranking them in order of best, he's number 7. Because at this stage of the game, Fale is largely a tag wrestler. He's usually in the G1 where we'll have like one match where he reminds people he's really good. But ultimately, and I say this, when I say this, I'm not saying this from a negative standpoint. He doesn't give a fuck. Like, so it's just like, I'm coming to get my check, I'm coming to represent Bullet Club, and then I'm going to go the fuck home. And I'm worried about my dojo. So, again, that's a great thing. I'm not saying it's negative. So, because of that, he's really good. I mean, I love the what is it called? The Bad Luck Fall. I was going to call it the Border Toss from Hernandez, but the Bad Luck Fall. He can go when he wants to. He's one of the better big men. He's probably the biggest man in the company. The other six ahead of him, I think, bring more to the table top to bottom right now. And again, we're not ranking importance. We're not ranking respect. We're ranking the best. All deference to the Tongans. I don't want any smoke. My number six.
I don't want any smoke, but you've ranked 8 and 7 so far. Number six. I don't want any smoke. Number six, Tama Tonga.
Yeah, that's a hell no. I know better. Tama kills people for real. No, my number six actually is, this is what I'm disappointed to say. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed in myself that I ranked him so low, but I have reasons. Number six is the Bone Soldier himself, Taiji Ishimori. If we are strictly talking in-ring ability, he is number one on this list. He is the best wrestler in Bullet Club. I don't think it's close. And that's including Jay White. I don't think it's close. Ishimori is as good as it gets in the ring. Ishimori has won every title you can win as a junior. Multiple time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. Multiple time Junior Tag Team Champ. He's won the 6-man titles. I'd like to see him go for the never. He's that good. I have him at 6 because he's just there. Everybody else has a level. Now, this is the exact opposite of Fale. Everyone else has a level of importance that's more important than him. Everybody else has a character that matters more to the club and to the company than him. Everybody, he's not even the most important junior in his club, and that's a hint for later. So this is not a diss to Ishimori. I think he's fantastic, but the six ahead of him, right? The five ahead of him are just, I think, integral to the company and to the success and the structure of the club.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you make very cogent points, even though you are incredibly wrong with both those picks. But it's your list. It's not on me to judge, even though I will quietly and silently. So for my sixth, I've gone with El Fantasmo. Now,
okay,
this is where we're getting to fine lines about why each one makes a list. The reason I've gone for El Fantasma, obviously, he's been in a relatively short amount of time. I think he actually debuted on the Don Taku 2019. He was able to beat Will Ospreay in his debut, picked up those junior titles with Taiji Ishimori. I think they beat Roppongi 3K, lost them back at Wrestle Kingdom 14. He was the first ever winner of the Super J Cup in 2 consecutive years, which is something to be really kind of impressed with. The reason why he's so high up and over people like Evil and Tangaloa is because I think character-wise, he has got the closest to the kind of original reasoning behind Bullet Club in this current format. He's the most like the attitude and the belief that he's superior that Prince Devitt had when he started forming this club. And talent-wise, he's among the best in the company. He's such a crisp, clean wrestler, and he's someone who you can see in New Japan for a long, long time. But as of right now, just because of longevity, and because I do favour a lot of the people going ahead of him, I've got El Fantasmo at 6. Going into 5, I've gone with Kenta. So the reason why I've gone with Kenta, Obviously, he shocked the wrestling world when he came to New Japan after his time with WWE and NXT. I felt really bad for him because it was his dream to be part of that company. Just with injuries and booking, it just didn't really work for him. And everybody expected him to return to Pro Wrestling Noah, and he didn't. He joined New Japan and basically just blew the wrestling world away with that. Quickly joined Bullet Club at the end of the G1 in 2019. He won the NEVER title at Royal Quest. I think he beat Tomohiro Ishii. Again, dropped that title at Wrestle Kingdom. But on that same night, he became public enemy number one when it comes to a lot of New Japan fans, because he interrupted the roll call and the redemption arc of the newly crowned champ Tetsuya Naito. He didn't go on to win that title after his match at New Beginning, but he would win the New Japan USA tournament, which guarantees him a title shot for that IWGP US title when Jon Moxley is available to defend. And he's also defended that in multiple matches against some pretty big talented wrestlers. So he's definitely high up on New Japan's man. So, yeah, I've gone with number five, Kenta.
Kenta's defended the briefcase more than Moxley's defended the title.
Correct. He's had a second briefcase since.
Great point. And that's blasphemous that you got Kenta number five, but okay. We are who we are. I cannot judge. Well, I can judge you, but I will not judge you loudly. You broke down my number five so perfectly that I'm shocked you don't have him over Ishimori. ELP. Mm-hmm. You broke it down so perfectly. Beautifully, in fact. Because you said the one thing that puts him over Ishimori to me. You said it yourself. El Phantasmo fits the ideology of Bullet Club better than almost anybody in the club. Mm-hmm. ELP has one of the best characters in the entire Bullet Club. So the only thing he doesn't have is time, right? Well, Ishimori only debuted in Bullet Club like less than a year before he did.
Okay, but he's also won more titles whilst being there.
Okay, and he's also lost those titles very quickly. Ishimori won the title at Wrestle Kingdom and then lost it 3 weeks, not 3 weeks, 3 months, like 2 months later, or 2 months later at the Madison Square Garden show. So, like, it's not like he's out here having Okada-esque reigns, you know? And your boy... ELP is the only person to win the Super J Cup consecutively. You said it yourself.
In consecutive years, not actually consecutively. There's, I think Lager has won it back to back, but I think there was a 4-year gap or something like that. And
nope. ELP. Headbanger.
Yeah. Don't worry about facts, people. Yeah, you can prove anything with facts.
Well, I'm American. Clearly, we don't care about facts. Clearly. But no, you can't go wrong with ELP or Ishimori. You can flip them either way you want them. But my number four is a perfect example of disrespect coming from the black country right now. And the big fish. My number four is Evil. Let me tell you why he's number four. In the entire history of Bullet Club, only three members have been IWGP Heavyweight Champion. Alan Jones Styles, Kenny Schmomega, as Tama calls him now, and Evil. Only one of those people won the IWGP Heavyweight Championship and the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, or as you call it, sir, the Champ Champ. Evil was the champ champ. Not only did Evil debut and become the champ champ, but he did that while simultaneously hurting Bullet Club's biggest rival, Los Ingobernables de Japón. Since that moment, Evil has been treated as the Japanese leader. He's like the sub-leader. He's like, if Jay is the general, and I know, not talking real general, I know that, but if Jay is the general, then Evil is the colonel. I don't know how y'all structure is in Britain, but you get the point. So,
so when Jay brings in work sick, they bring in Evil to be the assistant manager.
The assistant manager.
Perfect. Assistant to the manager.
There you go. And so there was even a point where they it seemed like they might have been building to Jay versus Evil because more people were joining Evil. This is the point where I point out again, Bullet Club is traditionally and is built to be a gaijin stable, but now there are more Japanese wrestlers than gaijin wrestlers. And Evil joining is the moment where it changed from being a gaijin stable to a Japanese stable. And of course, you know, it's a mix. But, and I think Evil's joining changed that because not only is it Japanese wrestlers, but now it's all the heaters are Japanese. Kato, Jado, and that Togo kid who wrestled some time ago that one place somewhere. So I just think I'm with you on that. In many situations, time matters. I'm with you on that. But I think importance trumps time. And Evil's import. When you tell the story of Bullet Club, you cannot leave out Evil. You can leave out a lot of these motherfuckers we talked about, and you won't not be able to tell the story. But you cannot tell the story of Bullet Club without telling the story of how Evil defected from LIJ, won the champ champ, and then went on to change the entire course of the club. Evil's joining changed the, for lack of a better term, it changed the ideology of the club. So, yeah. Now, I'm not saying I like watching his matches because I don't, but importance.
I mean, I can't disagree with what you're saying. For me, it is about the time, though. Give him a year. Have him in more kind of a prominent feud, maybe kind of have him more in a prominent role in Bullet Club, really like working together as a team, perhaps pick up the six mans as part of Bullet Club, then revisit this, and it's very likely he'll be a lot higher up the list. But for me, I still see him as someone who has just left LRJ rather than a member of Bullet Club. But it's your picks. I'm going to, again, attempt to kind of redress some balance with my next couple of picks, some who you've already mentioned. I'm going to go with number four, Taiji Ishimori, the Bone Soldier. Came back to the company in 2018. I didn't even know this until I was actually looking it up, but he was in the Young Lion system for a year and then ended up leaving and going to All Japan. But he was revealed at Dontaku 2018 as the new Bone Soldier. Got to the finals of his debut Best of the Super Juniors tournament, which he lost to Hiromu. Won his first junior heavyweight at title at Wrestle Kingdom 13 when he beat the ace of that division, Kushida, which then added to his already won six-man title that he had with the Guerrillas of Destiny. He lost that junior title to Dragon Lee, I think, but then transitioned into the tags with ELP. Regained that junior title back at Summer Struggle, but then again, like you so poignantly said earlier, he dropped it with it not having his Okada-style run back to Hiromu at Wrestle Kingdom 15. The reason why I've got him over El Fantasmo is because I really like watching Taiji Ishimori wrestle. He's arguably the most crisp, talented wrestler outside of Hiromu Takahashi in that company. Watching them two go at it is just like it's absolutely like a dream. And the one big storyline he's had outside of title contention was the storyline he had with Kanemaru, where he's been unable to beat Kanemaru in all his career. I think he was like 13-0, and he finally was able to pick off that victory. So, number four, I've got Taiji Ishimori. Then to redress a little bit more, I've gone for number three, Bad Luck Fale. And again, I agree with you in terms of in-ring talent. He's low down the scale. He does what he needs to do and does no more. He's very much kind of the fuck 'em attitude. I absolutely love that about him. But he's one of the only two surviving original members of Bullet Club. He was actually the very first kind of tag team partner for Prince Devitt once he kind of defected away from Apollo 55 and was the underboss. Part of the original four that officially started being called Bullet Club. He's essentially the hoss, the muscle of the group. But I always feel that you need Bad Luck Fale on your side if you want to be leader of Bullet Club. You need his, almost as an underboss, you need his say-so. Former Intercontinental champion when he beat Shinsuke Nakamura. And he also has quite high-profile matches. He's had quite a few title shots against Okada, so it's obvious that the New Japan really think highly of the guy. And he's also a three-time, never six-man tag team champion. So for me,
an accolade, bro. Stop listening to that as an accolade. Look, me, you, and Tali have won the double six-man tags before.
Even so, I've got Bad Luck Fale at number three.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT, get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, Did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
I'm not mad at that because so what you're doing is you're clearly, we know who your winning to is. So the way you're doing it in terms of legacy and importance. I respect that completely. And I have no qualms with that whatsoever.
I'm going to predict your number three now, though. Your number three has to be. You already know who my number three is. It's got to be Kenta.
My number three is Kenta. Well done. Number one and number two on anybody's list should be the same. Mm-hmm. I truly think so.
Just depends which slots.
You know, I want to be offended by that, but I can understand your point because of legacy. but Kenta's number three for a myriad of reasons. Number one, you mentioned ELP having the old school Bullet Club ideology. Kenta got that shit in spades.
He's lived Kenta, that his career. That's been his career.
His entire career. Kenta don't care. First and foremost, of 14 people in the Bullet Club, only one of them is an actual living legend, and that's Kenta, number one. Get it correct. Give the man his respect, number one. Number two, the man had the balls to kick Shibata in the face after he blew his head up.
Oof. That made me cringe so hard.
I was so mad at Gato for booking that. And then I realized, well, that's why he booked it, because I was pissed. And I rock with Bullet Club. Yes. With all respect to Jay White, because I don't think any gaijin can get them as mad. But I think Kenta is the biggest heel in that company. And he's the biggest heel in that company from a mid-card position. But clearly they believe in him because, like you said, every year, Wrestle Kingdom, 15 Wrestle Kingdoms before that, all the anniversary shows before they changed the name, never once had the winner at the end of the Wrestle Kingdom been attacked. The one time they did it, who did it? Kenta. Right? You've spoken about how they've entrusted Kenta to basically hold down an entire division by himself without a championship with just a briefcase. They're not trusting nobody else to do that. That's just Kenta. And I truly do believe that once Jay's gone, which
you know, maybe soon,
in an index to, I believe that even though we spoke about Evil being the assistant manager, I believe Kenta will be the guy above. As kind of like the guy who takes the, he's shown that, like, I'll do it. I'll be the guy to handle everything. I'll do the dirty work, you know. So yeah, one of the best wrestlers in the cast. The importance is amazing. When Kenta joined Bullet Club, that was almost as big as AJ joining Bullet Club to me. Because
it's huge.
I understand AJ's importance from the Western world, and Kenta had a nice little run over here, but Kenta's run in Noah, you know what I mean?
He was a god. Like,
he was a god, you know? And so for him to join New Japan, and then to join the only club that you can really be hated in, I don't count Suzuki-gun because, like, we don't hate them. Like, they're like that annoying uncle who does stupid shit, but we're like, they're lovable, right? Bullet Club is hated. And then on top of that, his accolades, things he's been allowed to do, the positions he's been put in. I mean, I feel where you're coming from with your with putting Fally at three. I get it. But, man, Kenta is just so important to that club, bro. And Kenta is – no, it's crazy to say this because he's, like, old as dirt. But he is the future of the club.
What I love especially about Kenta is the way he fuels on the hate that he gets from the crowd. He drinks those salty tears and licks his lips because they're so delicious. Yeah, he's a great character wrestler. And like I said, one of the best wrestlers in the world. So I'm not mad at that pick.
And shout out to my man finally being healthy for once.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't wish nobody to go through what he went through in NXT. And that's nobody's fault. Shit just happened. But the fact that he's been able to stay healthy, with the exception of the time he got loopy when he hit his head, he's been pretty healthy. And I hope he stays that way because he has so much to offer. But I'm going to ask that maybe we break kind of tradition here and how we've the format.
Mm-hmm.
Because our one and two are the same. But I want to do, I want us to go one by one, like kind of together and not go back and forth. My number two is Tama Tonga.
Oh, get to fuck. What? No, that is list done. Ignore everything that Rand says from now on. Wow. Wow. Seriously, you've gone for I've got Tama at number one.
Okay.
Jay White at two.
So I have Tama 2, you Jay White 1, you have Jay White 2, Tama 1. Let's talk about Tama first.
Okay.
And then we can talk about Jay. Well, clearly we know where we stand. I have Tama 2 for one reason. He's not a singles guy.
I get that.
So he is the most important person, I'd argue, in the history of Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one that's been there from day one. Well, he puts some of a Bullet Club. You know, he's the only one that puts on for the club everywhere, wherever he is. He is when you think of Bullet Club, most people forget that stupid elite shit. Like, he is the guy. I get it. He broke seven time IWGP tag champs. But you can't be the best and most important when you are a tag wrestler. If they ever gave him an opportunity to be a singles guy, and I would wish this list in a heartbeat. But okay. That's like saying the most important wrestler in the WWE right now is Kofi Kingston. No! He's a tag guy. He can't be him. When he became a main eventer, yes, we could talk about that. But right now, no, he can't. Bobby Fish is the most important guy in NXT. No, because he's a tag guy. They don't even let him wrestle singles matches. So that's my only qualm with Tama. Other than that, I love Tama Tonga. Even the good bad guy. I miss the bad guy, but even the good bad guy. But you can't be the man if you can't even be the man in a match.
Okay, I mean, I can counter your argument. So you mentioned some of the stuff that I was going to bring up: record breaking 7-time IWGP Tag Team Champion. Also, record-breaking holder of the Never Six-Man Belts with four.
They don't count.
Four separate reigns as a
and you know never... what? And R-Truth is a 52-time 24/7 champion. Nobody.
So, original member. No. I mean, you can be wrong. You're allowed to be wrong. So, original member of Bullet Club, record breaker. Yeah, I get your point about him being a tag team wrestler. But for me, being the person that he is puts him at number one. He was the major instigator in the Civil War that we got with Bullet Club. He was the one who attacked the Elite. He was the one who offered Cordy a spot. When Cordy said no, he attacked Cordy. He split the Bullet Club down the middle to the OGs and then the Elite. He's the one who's front and center on social media, Kenny Schmomega, all that bullshit, cease and desist against the Good Brothers. He's the, like you said it, he's the person when you say Bullet Club, you think Tama Tonga, because he rocks that 24/7. Jay White is a massively important member of Bullet Club, but when he joined Bullet Club, it was because he turned on Okada. It wasn't because he believed in Bullet Club. He could have, if he did that, he could have joined in the first place when he was offered a spot. So for me, the reason why I've gotten for Tama is because if you cut that guy, he bleeds Bullet Club.
Okay. So let's flip to Jay White, because you said something that I don't think is completely true. What you said is correct, but I don't think it's completely true. Jay White was offered a spot to join Bullet Club, and he joined Chaos. But in one of the most rare moments in wrestling history where a heel told the truth and nobody, he said, I'm not joining Chaos because I want to be a part of this. I'm joining Chaos because I'm going to get close to you and take your championship. I believe the goal was always for Jay to be Bullet Club. He just wanted to take down Okada. So it's not a sense of him not wanting to be a part of Bullet Club. It's a sense of, much like Evil, taking out the head to get a point. Now, I did say I made a mistake earlier, but I made this mistake on purpose. I said only three members of Bullet Club have been IWGP Heavyweight Championship. I did that on purpose so I could give love to the fourth, the Switchblade. Okay? So, and by the way, the youngest of the four to win when he won it, important. Also, he's won every major championship you can win. But here's why Jay White is the most important member of Bullet. Oh boy. Okay. Anyway, here's why he's the most important person in the history of the club. And this is in kayfabe, but also in real life, right? You spoke about how Tama's the man. We spoke about Tama bleeds Bullet Club. We talked about how Tama is the personification of the club, correct? Tama Tonga has been on record of saying, we have never had a leader before. The only time we've ever had a leader is Jay White. If the man of the club says Devin was not a leader, he was a spokesperson. Anderson wasn't a leader, he was a spokesperson. Styles wasn't a leader, he was a spokesperson. Omega wasn't a leader, he was a spokesperson. But Jay White is the leader of Bullet Club. What are we talking about?
I mean, I agree. That's why he's at set is in number two.
Oh God!
I wouldn't have had him as high up as I have, but I just see Tama more as Bullet Club than I do Jay. I think that Jay could easily leave Bullet Club today and still be the wrestler that he is. If Tama was to leave, you would think that Bullet Club would implode because of him. He would always be linked to Bullet Club. I think Jay could slip into any faction. He could join Suzuki-Gun and fit into Suzuki-Gun. And that's why I would go he would have the perfect kind of mindset for a Suzuki Goon. Him and Zack Sabre Jr. tagging together would be absolutely amazing.
That'd be fun.
But, I mean, we can round off for what he's achieved at such a young age in New Japan is phenomenal. Youngest IWGP champion, Intercontinental champion, US champion, all relatively short reigns, which is New Japan booking for our first-time champions. I fully expect this guy to certainly not only challenge for the heavyweight title again, but to win it multiple times.
He won't. He's in WWE, baby! In NXT.
No, if he was to stay, you would expect him to be at the top of the card. Character-wise, he is one of the best at being a heel, and not a comedy heel, not a heel so bad that you like him, like MJF and the like. This guy, he makes you despise him because he's only in it for himself. And that's probably why he doesn't quite make number one for me, because he's in it for himself. He would happily screw over every member of Bullet Club to be the number one guy. And for me, Bullet Club is about protecting your own. And I don't think he would do that.
Fair enough. I appreciate you gave him number two, because I just knew you were going to put him at like number 12.
Number 14. Yeah, I mean, we technically, he's not even in Bullet Club. He's quit. So it's a moot point either way. We could easily still just have Tama Tonga as number one. That would then bump Bad Luck Farley up to number two for me.
I'm fine. Look, I'm okay with Tama being number one. I just, if a man says this man is the leader of the club I'm in, no matter how much that dude puts on for the club, he said he's number one. I'm inclined to believe him. Before we get out of here, any thoughts on the whole situation with Tama and the Good Brothers and Omega and them pretending to be Bullet Club even though they're not, and throwing up the two sweet even though they got quote-unquote cease and desisted, which apparently might not be true? Any thoughts on that?
Interesting. I was actually reading, whilst doing that, I was reading up on a lot of stuff like that. And WWE tried to patent the two sweet wolf sound, and it got rejected in the patent office. So I didn't know that. I thought that was really interesting. Kenny came out to Hard to Kill in a Bullet Club t-shirt. They are playing so close to the line. But there's a famous Rihanna song that easily explains this, and it's work, 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 work. Baby, it's a work, 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 work. You know it's a work. These guys are friends. These are buddies. Kenny Schmomega, he's in on it with the good, bad, good guy, Tama Tonga. I don't like the fact he's had a shave. He just looks like a child. But yeah, what I did like, though, he went in hard on Michael Elgin. Whoo! He hates that motherfucker.
Rightfully so, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced it's a work yet.
Okay.
I'm not convinced it's the work yet, because Thomas said some shit that made a lot of sense that sounded personal. And the shit he said is, everywhere you go, you try to pretend to be us. You were the OC, then you were the club, then you were the this, and you were the that, and the that. How many times are you going to try? You sell out, and how many times are you going to try and relive off old shit that you don't even represent anymore? Mm-hmm. And that may be coming from a real place. I don't doubt that there is parts of a work in this, but I feel like it's more of a work shoot than a straight up work. And I do think there is issues over the whole usage of the too sweet and of the Wolfpack symbol, because that shit ain't the fucking too sweet. I'm old enough to remember the damn Wolfpack. Okay. I do because that's the thing that bothers me. Maybe the cease and desist was real.
Maybe it was. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not privy to the documents. But I can just tell you facts. Facts are that WWE owned the trademark for that until 2017. It's facts. In 2017, Pro Wrestling Tees owned the trademark. And then it abandoned it in 2019. So none of these periods, the WWE didn't own it during the period and when the shit happened. Pro Wrestling Tees did. The Bucks have a exclusive deal with Pro Wrestling Tees. So what bothers me is the whole cease and desist thing. And if you remember, the Japanese Bullet Club never stopped using the symbol. Mm-hmm. Which makes me wonder. Now, we all thought, well, you know, Japan got different laws than America. No, it never hit me, but it makes me wonder, maybe these motherfuckers were lying. And talk about works. That's the greatest work they've ever done, because that's the work that got them the goodwill of the people. That one lie is their highest selling t-shirt, and that's the lie that allowed them to get the goodwill and the strength of the people to do All Out. Facts are facts. So it makes me wonder. Tama knows where the bodies are buried. If anybody knows, it's Tama. And maybe he's sick of this shit. Because imagine how you got to feel if you're Tama Tonga. You have been Bullet Club since day one. You've been New Japan since day one. And all these motherfuckers come in and get clout off of your shit and leave. They come in, get clout off of your shit, and then leave bigger. Then you got a group that comes in, says they're better than all of the Bullet Club, and only rocks with their own group. Gets the as big as possible, big enough to create their own company, and then leave, but still use your shit. Then you work tirelessly to rebuild Bullet Club and make it as good as it's ever been again, and make it important and not only important, but you make it relevant again. And then what's the first thing these motherfuckers do? Bullet Club, baby, what's up, Too Sweet? That would piss me off if I was Tama Tonga. Let me have my shit. You guys got millions of dollars. You want it, got what you wanted. Right? You bought your houses. Carl Anderson bought however many houses for his hot Asian wife. Gallows and bought how many cars. All the stuff y'all wanted to do, y'all got. Leave me my shit. So that's why I don't know if it's all a complete work or not.
Yeah, I mean, that does make a lot of sense. But for me, and obviously I can't speak for how New Japan and Tama want to take this, whether going the legal route would kind of get a lot of fans riled up and kind of lose a lot of that goodwill they've got. But if somebody was taking food off my plate by using the copyrights and the IP that I own or I am part of, I would stop that shit in a heartbeat. You know that WWE would do it. You know if something was like that was happening with AEW, they would pull the legal team out. So why haven't New Japan? Why hasn't Tama Tonga? But it's all this whole story is played through social media. And it's all to whip us all into a fan frenzy, because the way you get fans in is by creating drama, and then the fans want to see the culmination of that drama. Is that the road we're heading? I don't know, because there just doesn't seem to be any kind of a clear link between New Japan and AEW right now. But is it feeding into potential future storylines and rivalries? Perhaps. Is it real? It could well be. But I don't see why Tama and New Japan would take this route rather than the legal route to cut it off at the head if it wasn't part of some potential bigger plan.
Well, you said it best. You said it perfectly. If this is all the work trying to get fans involved and get them excited, what are you getting them excited for if they can't wrestle each other? Mm-hmm. So if there does turn out to be some type of deal, then okay, cool, I'm with you. Then I get it. That's GOD versus Good Brothers can make money. I'm with you completely. Don't look like that's the case. Secondly, and lastly, and we can kind of get out of here after this, Bullet Club, not Bullet Club, but New Japan, don't really give a shit about none of this because they own the Bullet Club term. Mm-hmm. So all the money comes to them anyway, right? All the Bullet Club shirts are owned. The Bullet Club likeness and image and name, trademark, is owned by New Japan. So that's not the concern. All of this stuff is personal because of Too Sweet and the hand signal and representing something that these people don't represent anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, it would be like if X-Pac left DX, went to another company, and started another DX. Like, while DX was still going in WWE. That wouldn't make sense. It would be stupid. Now, it's okay if you use your name, X-Pac, as your name, but then for there to be the actual real Degeneration X in WWE, and then in ECW, it's you, Justin Credible, and Lance Storm as Degeneration X? No, that's stupid. So, but, you know, we're talking semantics at this point. So, I want you all listening to know that I had the better list. Mags was wrong.
Even though we were different on some, there were so many similarities. And to get so close out of 14 different members, I'm pretty impressed with that. I thought we'd be a lot more different than that. I mean, and it's all semantics at the end of the day. It's all subjectivity. On another day, I could have easily been a lot closer to your picks. I could have easily had... Well, no, I wouldn't have had Jay White as number one. But I could have easily had Kenta at three over Bad Luck Farley. So, yeah, I think we had very, very similar mindsets.
We did. And, you know, this might be something we'll revisit again with other factions or groups. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed this. I enjoyed ranking these people and actually thinking about not just my personal opinion, but who is the best of this group. You know, Chaos got like 1,700 members, so...
Number one member, Yoshihashi, clearly.
Oh, God. Let's see, now we got to end. Now we got to go.
Either Yoshi or Toriano.
Well, look, my name is Ray Cash. You can find me at It's Ray Cash. R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. Of course, I host the Outsider's Edge podcast at Outsider's Edge CS, 3-Man Weave at 3_Man Weave, and Bandwagon Nerds at Bandwagon Nerds. We're part of Chairshot Radio Network, and you can find Chairshot at Chairshot Media. And let the man with a million different shows break it down in his own way.
Okay, so I've got two Twitter handles. One is at Ray Encounter. You can find me there, where I definitely won't welch on coming on the show at the last minute because I'm not a massive welch douchebag.
And not two, at all.
And two, at Ricky and Clive, where, again, I won't welch on coming on the show and I'm not a massive Scottish douchebag.
No. Because it's not... You're not a douchebag that likes to... Well, I can't come on because I don't know the Bullet Club members.
Yeah, exactly. I can't come on because I'm pretending to do some work.
Yeah, I'm acting like I'm responsible at my job. No, we know the truth.
Exactly.
Also goes by DEJ Kirkby. If you know, that's his burner account. The burner account.
Burner account. Wow. Follow me on and definitely go and follow Paul and Ricky and Cloud because they are good people. Can't wait for them to finally come on the show after they keep promising so much. Yeah, but you can follow me at DJ Kirby. I host Badlands on the Chair Shot radio network with Paul, and I also have Five Rounds with my son Carlos coming up to this weekend with a huge Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier show. So that's going to be fun. So yeah, check me out.
Sir, we haven't talked about what's planned for next week. I might ask you to do a Five Rounds recap with me and you next week, because McGregor and Poirier is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I am excited about this fight, and I'm excited about Conor being back to being Conor. You know what I'm saying? Toxic ass, douchebag ass, put Ireland on my back ass Conor McGregor. I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, this week he came out and said he still thinks he's the champion, because there was never a belt handling ceremony in the ring after the battle between him and Khabib. So he counts himself as the champion, and that's the cocky Conor that we love and we love to hate.
Yeah, and well, we all know Conor's delusional too, but you kind of got to be when you're that level, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all those in between, we appreciate you listening. This has been your Head Trauma Thursdays on Chair Shot Radio. And what do we want to tell the people, sir?
Always use your fingertips,
appendages, and maybe your head.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.